Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prues. If you have a question for me or my guest, we are at 907-458-8255. We're coming into our final few days of political ramifications, elections, all that fun stuff. And in today, I have a wonderful person. We're going to talk about Constitutional Convention. Senator Joseph Pascavan, I've known all my life, families, interrelated, I'm sure. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, David. Welcome, glad to be here. And I want to say congratulations to the new mayor of Fairbanks. A big shout out to that, and I'm sure you're going to do a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. Every 10 years, as per our Constitution says, we shall put on the ballot to have a constitutional convention. Now, I've had one group that's been on here, the pro, and you're here to present the against. So how do you want to do it, sir?
Well, yes, I am against a constitutional convention, and I'll just start out with saying it's not needed. And
I concur. First of all, I concur.
Yeah. Well, great. And, if a person, any listener, that's listening to this program, if they think that there's a specific issue that should be put in to the Constitution, there is a process, and that's called the amendment process. And, so I start again with the general concept. Assuming we had a full convention, what does that mean? And it means they use a word, plenary. Plenary power, and that means absolute and unlimited power. So what the listener should take away from that word plenary is that essentially everything in our current Constitution is thrown out the window, because then this new constitutional convention with its not currently unknown delegates has absolute and unlimited power. So
now, before we get too far into it, I want everyone to realize you're born and raised in Fairbanks.
Yep.
You're not representing any outside interest.
Nope.
You're total as local as you get.
Yeah. I am not being paid to be here. I am speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for any organization. I remember the statehood convention. Mm-hmm. I remember why, because I study a lot of history. And I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. But yep. Again, I'm speaking from my own perspective. I think it's dangerous to open a convention. I think that extremists will want to embed in our new Constitution. If we were to get that, they would embed these extremist ideas. It opens this Pandora's box, that the convention would become, in my mind, a playground for out-of-state big money interests.
And that's how we got ranked choice voting right there. And that's why, I looked at it and said, this is an example of what can happen. First of all, you go through a process of electing delegates. There will be massive amounts of money chosen to elect delegates. I mean, look at the radio shows right now. We have a lot of radio advertising going on for candidates. And, that would happen no matter what. And like you said, there is a process. If you want a full permanent fund dividend, there's a way to get it. There's a way.
Well, absolutely. But I think that, and I probably will get a little controversial when I say this, it really bothers me that some politicians wrongly say that the people are the resource owners.
And I agree with you.
Okay. And that type of politician is spreading false and misleading information.
I concur.
And, I go back again the history of this, and I think about and I've read about the 1950s. There were two significant risks that everyone in the state of Alaska knew, and this is one of the reasons that we were looking at becoming a state. Alaska was not economically self-sufficient. It was dependent upon the United States for funds. And so the question is can we become a state if we're not economically self-sufficient? So that's the first big issue.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue is that Alaska had a history of being exploited by outside interests.
The Seattle groups,
I mean, it was the fishing industry out of Seattle was exploiting Alaska, and before that it was the copper mining international interests were exploiting Alaska.
Guggenheim's and,
You know, so that is a significant foundation for the thought process that the 55 or the delegates in 1955-56 were having to deal with. We have a territory that was not economically self-sufficient, and we needed to protect this new state that was likely to be formed from being exploited by outside interests. And so then the process, there was a federal law called the Alaska Statehood Act. And so the voters of Alaska, the citizens of Alaska at that time, had to vote for and approve of the Federal Statehood Act. And so Section 4 of the Federal the Alaska Statehood Act says, quote, "Alaska's people do agree and declare they forever disclaim all right and title to any lands or other property." Section 5 says, quote, "The state of Alaska shall have and retain title to all property." And importantly,
it says, "The state of Alaska shall."
Yeah. The state of Alaska shall have.
Yeah.
Section 6 then, and which everyone knows about, that we Alaskans had the right to select some federal lands. And the reason for that was so that Alaska could have access to mineral lands and the resources from these lands so that we would have a potential of not being dependent upon the federal government so that we could become economically self-sufficient. Now, the big issue, though, so Section 6 generally gives Alaska the right to select federal lands to become state lands, but Section 6I says, "Any lands or minerals hereafter disposed of contrary to the provisions of this section shall be forfeited to the United States."
Yeah.
So we, and again, that is because we had a history of being exploited. So the federal government is saying, look, we don't want to give you full title, which Alaska has, to these federal lands, but then you become exploited and then you give it away at a dime on the dollar, and then the federal government no longer owns it, the state government no longer owns it, and these international companies that had a history of exploiting Alaska for decades and decades now own Alaska's lands.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and forfeiture, just so that people understand, means that the federal lands granted to Alaska would go back to the United States. That's what forfeiture is. So, again, the politicians that wrongly say the people are the resource owners don't understand history, don't understand the reasons why.
They're making a political statement to get votes and make them sound good.
Yeah, yes. And so my concern is that you mess with that. You mess with Alaska remaining the sole owner of these lands.
And if you have this convention, you're opening all that up.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything. So we get where do we get from there? We now, Alaska, the voters approve the Alaska Statehood Act. Alaska becomes a state. Alaska owned all the lands and minerals. There was no permanent fund, and there was no dividend.
Yeah.
So in 1959, that's where we're at. We're a brand new state. We're trying to become economically self-sufficient. We're trying to make sure that we're not exploited by these out-of-state multinational corporations, and we have no permanent fund and no dividend, but we're struggling.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. Got Joe Pascavan in the studio with me, Senator Joe Pascavan. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm part of a typical Alaska family. We fish on the Kasilaf, hunt off the Denali Highway, and work here in Anchorage. It's why I'm glad Mary Peltola is representing us in Congress. Just like Don Young, Mary's been a representative for all of Alaska, working with both parties to create jobs and develop our natural resources, like the Willow Project. And she's continuing Don's work on the Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Bill. Don even brought Mary to D.C. as an expert witness on Alaska's fisheries. Mary's a lifelong Alaskan who hunts and fishes, she's a gun owner, and believes in personal privacy, especially with reproductive health care. She thinks that's none of the government's business. Please vote Mary Peltola for Congress. She's pro-fish, pro-family, pro-jobs, and pro-choice.
Paid for by Vote Alaska Before Party. VoteAlaskaBeforeParty.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Vote Alaska Before Party is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by Dunleavy for Governor.
History has a way of catching up. When Sean Parnell was governor, he was getting Alaska's economic train back on the tracks and headed in the right direction. Parnell was a good man and a good governor. Then Bill Walker viciously attacked Parnell, commandeered the train, and proceeded to run it off the tracks. Walker was a train wreck of a governor. Now, Walker's back and using the exact same nasty tactics against Governor Mike Dunleavy. But Alaskans have a memory. And while Walker's attacks on the governor get wilder by the day, nobody wants Walker anywhere near the train. Governor Dunleavy has the state moving in the right direction. Crime is down. The economy is looking up. Alaska is again a state where personal freedom and personal responsibility go hand in hand. Let's keep the train on the tracks. On November 8th, vote Mike Dunleavy.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the tire guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory begins at midnight tonight and continues until midnight Friday morning. Chance of snow today, otherwise cloudy. High of 20, easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, snow likely 6 above. 3 to 5 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Joseph Pascavan. We're talking about Constitutional Convention. And what I always hear is the reason why we should have a Constitutional Convention so we can discuss putting the permanent fund into, you know, the 50-50 program from 1983 and putting it in our Constitution.
Well, two things. One, the permanent fund itself belongs in Alaska's Constitution, and it is in there right now. Mm-hmm. So, one,
it's there.
The permanent fund should be in the Constitution. But the dividends, in my mind, do not belong in Alaska's Constitution. And again, if there's someone out there that says, look, I think it should be in the Constitution, there is the amendment process to follow. Let's go through the details of that and let's follow the amendment process. But that doesn't mean the risk of opening up a plenary power constitutional convention is too great just for that, even that one issue.
The term you said was risk.
Yes.
So what we're talking about is risk management. Risk management.
Yes.
Because you have a constitutional convention. You're not just there's more people out there with different thoughts than a permanent fund. I hate to say it.
Yeah. But anyway, the concept of the permanent fund itself arose out of something that happened in Alaska in 1969. Alaska. And what did we receive? $900 million in oil lease sales revenues. But then what next happened? It was spent. All right. So this created this talk that culminated in 1976 when the voters approved a constitutional amendment. And that constitutional amendment allowed the diversion of at least 25% of the oil royalties to be deposited directly into the permanent fund.
Yeah.
And so the corpus of that permanent fund, again, that was created by a constitutional amendment.
By a vote of the people.
By a vote of the people. The principle is constitutionally protected. So that was in 1976. Oil first started to flow to Valdez in 1977.
June 21st, as a point, I was at pump station one when we turned it on.
Perfect, yeah. I mean, it was wild times.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
But so what did we have that Alaska had never had before? Revenues. I mean, and these are, and so in the late 70s, though, then the thought arose, okay, we had the $900 million from 69. That was spent. We now approved in 1976 25% of the royalties going directly into the permanent fund, but it's not going to last forever. And why are Alaskans thinking this? Well, we know it's oil is a non-renewable resource, and it is an infinite.
Yeah.
And so then the plan was, people started talking about in the late 70s after the, again, this is after the permanent fund had already been created in 76, that this permanent savings account, this multi-generational source of money to fund government's operation when oil ran out, you needed to create, or not create, you needed to convert this non-renewable resource called oil into a permanent savings account so Alaska would have a renewable revenue source that would be derived from the investment earnings. And so what did we do? In 1980, the state of Alaska, now we create the permanent, or we created the permanent fund in 1976, but then we say, okay, we have this permanent,
we have this
permanent fund. We now are hoping to have investment earnings.
We're having a guest walk in. I got all sorts of people in here. Glenn Anderson, how you doing? Governor Walker, how you doing?
Soon to be.
Anyway, go ahead, Joseph.
Welcome, Governor.
Welcome, Governor.
So anyway, I guess simplifying it, the only reason in 2022 that there's dollars saved is because Alaskans voted in 1976 to amend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we get to 1980, there was no dividend program, but when they did form the dividend program in 1980, the dividend was $50 per year for every year of residency.
Yeah.
So if you got to Alaska in 1978, you would have gotten in 1980 $100 50 years times 2 years. If me, where I had 2 decades since statehood in 59, I would have got $1,000.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, I think.
So they created a longevity bonus program. That then a suit from the Zobel's attorneys out of Anchorage,
yep.
And they said, "Hold it, that's discriminatory. So you have to rework that." So that was reworked. Yep. A little bit of good history here, Mr. Paskman.
Well, thank you, David. Anyway, the I think that there is a serious risk of putting the dividend into the Constitution. If you want to get the dividend into the Constitution, the process in my mind should be the amendment process, that the risk of this free-for-all, political free-for-all that would arise with the plenary powers is that you have people that would want to take title from the state of Alaska for the mineral lands and the revenues from those mineral lands and transfer them directly to the people, which I believe violates the Alaska Statehood Act that was approved by the voters before statehood in 1959.
And Governor, you can jump in here at any time. Also, think about your other resources, such as fisheries.
Absolutely.
Now this is ponder that thought, because one of the issues that has always been has been the Seattle consortiums and fishing dominating Alaska. Now, you don't think that they're going to try and get a predominant commercial fishing policy involved? And what's the biggest thing we have? You know, you get a person put up in the legislature for confirmation on the fishing commission, and that's a civil war. I mean, so, you know, this is what you're bringing in.
Yeah. So, again, going to that path to statehood, The citizens of Alaska knew that it was necessary for Alaska to economically become self-sufficient and to protect this newly formed state from the risk of exploitation that was sure to come unless we protected ourselves from it.
We're going to take a quick phone call here before our commercial break. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
How fortuitous. Everybody's there.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, sir.
I'm against the Constitutional Convention for something that Joe mentioned earlier, is that, you know, it's a shame Citizens United. That's probably the worst Supreme Court decision in my memory. But now it's like the national money runs everything, and I just don't want our Constitution recreated in Trump's image. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the phone call, Mel. You know, and that's, it doesn't matter if you're left, right, or center. Someone's going to have an economic interest that they're going to want to exploit, and they'll put the money into it.
Well, and the worst time to do that is now when we have no limits on contributions. I mean, my goodness. This is just the perfect storm of not to do it because for that reason. And, you know, Senator, you're absolutely correct about the, but there's a reversionary provision in the statehood compact that said if we do not do what we've been doing, it reverts back to the federal government. So we have the risk of having our lands, what little we do have of our own, reverting back to the federal government because there's a reversionary clause in that statehood compact. So it is.
We can be a territory again.
we could be, or worse. You know?
A military district. There
exactly.
You go.
So I am glad you are talking about this. I'm so glad you're talking about it because you are spot on everything I've heard since I've walked into the studio. And you know, it was that retroactive provision on the $50 that kicked it out. If it had been starting on that day, believe, I was doing the math the same as you were at that time. Morning.
Yeah.
Furby,
so was I got that $1,000 check.
We were doing that math.
Yeah.
$50
we met at the Zobels.
You know? Exactly. So, but if it hadn't been for that, that's what it would have stayed at, $50 per year for every year you lived in Alaska and whatnot. So anyway, it is what it is. But this is a good discussion. I'm thrilled you're the one having it because you are spot on in everything you're saying, Senator
Fairbanks.
Thank you, Governor
Fairbanks. We're going to take a commercial break here. I have the Police's bumper music. I have no idea what this is. I have a police force, but I have no idea what the band is going to do here. We have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and I'm sure there's going to be some political commercials here and some weather. We'll be back after all of that.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Federal Reserve today hiking its benchmark interest rate 0.75 in its continuing efforts to combat inflation.
And that would be the fourth rate hike of this size in a row, a record for the Federal Reserve. Everyday Americans are paying much more for meat, eggs, cereal, for example. These are the costs that Americans would like to come down.
Fox's Edward Lawrence. The Biden administration is accusing North Korea of supplying artillery shells to Russia and attempting to conceal that transfer by first sending the weapons to countries in the Middle East and Africa.
Earlier this year, the Biden administration revealed Iran was supplying Russia with so-called kamikaze drones and even sent personnel to Crimea to provide technical support.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. The jackpot for tonight's Powerball drawing has grown to an estimated $1.2 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
A lawsuit is challenging the eligibility of an Alaska legislative candidate to hold the seat. The lawsuit alleges that Democrat Jennifer Jenny Armstrong did not meet residency requirements when she filed to run for office. The complaint seeks an injunction barring state election officials from certifying Armstrong as the winner of her Anchorage House race should she garner the most votes. The lawsuit was filed against state elections officials. An Alaska Department of Law spokesperson says Armstrong was certified to appear on the ballot based on information she provided in her declaration of candidacy. candidacy and that the next opportunity to raise challenges would be in an election contest if Armstrong were to win her race. And finally, all of us here at the radio station would like to say thank you to the Golden Heart City for helping us out with our Socktober sock drive. The numbers are in, and over 12,000 pairs of socks were donated. All these socks will be donated to the Fairbanks Native Association SOAP program. That's the Street Outreach and Advocacy Program, helping young people in our community. So once again, thank you,
streaming
everyone.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Alaska may be the 49th state, but we shouldn't be 49th in the country as a place to do business. But that's how bad Alaska's economy has gotten under Mike Dunleavy. On economic growth, we are nearly dead last in the country. Dunleavy has killed thousands of jobs. He's mismanaged Alaska's fiscal crisis, cratered our education system, and gutted critical construction and infrastructure funding. Dunleavy's incompetent leadership put Alaska's economic recovery at 49th in the country and nearly destroyed our ferry system. It's not just embarrassing, it's hurting families and forcing us to flee the state in record numbers. To rebuild our economy and restore strong leadership, rank Bill Walker first on November 8th. Bill Walker's economic plan will generate jobs, lower prices, and bring more affordable housing and child care to Alaska. Bill plans to bring $2 per gallon fuel to Alaskans, because in the state that produces so much oil, we should be paying the lowest energy prices, not the highest. To put Alaska first, rank Bill Walker first on November 8th.
This communication is paid for by Walker Dragas for Alaska.
Hi, I'm Scott Kawasaki. 4 years ago, I made a commitment that as your senator, I would cut through the partisan gridlock, work hard, and get things done. That's what I've done for you each and every day. I committed to fight for your PFD, and this year I helped deliver the largest dividend in history. I get it. The dividend belongs to the people of Alaska, not the politicians in Juneau, and I'm not going to stop until we protect the PFD for future generations. I pledged to stand up for our military, and this year passed a bill to cut the red tape to help military families find jobs in Alaska. And last year I passed a bill to address suicide, especially for our armed service members. I promised to lower property taxes for Fairbanks families, and this year I passed an amendment to give the city the tools they need to provide property tax relief for Fairbanks homeowners. I'm Scott Kawasaki, and I humbly ask for your vote, because you deserve a senator who works hard and gets the job done.
Paid for by Friends of Scott Kawasaki, 2008 Carr Avenue, Fairbanks, 99709.
I used to support Bart Lebon, but this election, I'm voting for Maxine Dibert. Don't get me wrong, Bart is a decent guy, but now Bart refuses to work in a coalition with people across the aisle. He could have given Fairbanks a leadership role in the legislature. Instead, Bart Lebon caved to party pressure and teamed up with the same extreme legislators that supported a 40% cut to our university. Putting party before Fairbanks, that lost my support. Maxine Dibert has lived in Fairbanks her entire life. Maxine's been a teacher for 21 years and raised two kids here. This is not about political games for Maxine Dibert, because she has seen firsthand what Fairbanks families like mine are going through. Maxine Dibert knows our kids need more support, and they can't get it in classrooms with over 30 kids. Maxine knows that between paying for gas, rent, and heating oil, we're barely keeping up. I'm voting for Maxine Dibert, who will always stand up for the working families of Fairbanks.
Paid for by Maxine Dibert for House.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have another addition besides Mr. Pascavan, Governor Walker. I have Commissioner Heidi Dragas, another Fairbanks in the studio with me here. Now,
good morning.
Governor, Commissioner, I have an observation to give you about yourselves. You're the first people that have walked in here that's running for elected office that doesn't look like they've been roadkill. You guys are looking great. I mean, people come in here and this, oh my, you know, I got a 1,000-yard stare. I can't wait for it to be done. Should have been 2 weeks ago. You guys look great.
Well, we're
back in Fairbanks.
We're in Fairbanks.
There you go.
You know, we
there
had a great rally last night, and we were, you know, if it was Iditarod, we can see the lights of Nome in mm-hmm. distance, and we're not going to ride on the runners. We're kicking and pushing, and we're going to get across the finish line. We're energized.
I got to spend the night at, you know, my childhood home. My mom's been there for 45 years and hang out with my mom. And, you know, I saw a bunch of friends last night that were out at our event. So, I mean, it's nice. It's good to be home.
You know, the interesting thing about the Constitutional Convention, it is not endorsed for or against, rather, by a singular political party. But people of political parties venture in.
That's true. And in the state's election pamphlet, there is a yes vote proponent. And that yes vote proponent is from the Alaska Independence Party. And a couple of quotes I think are important for the listening audience to think about. And this is what the Alaska Independence Party spokesperson said. Quote, "There's no limit to what a constitutional convention might produce." Close quote. And then the next thing.
Which is scary in itself.
Yeah. And then to confirm that, this is what the Alaska Independence Party person said. Quote, "We need to look at the incredibly long list of things that need correction." Close quote. So if there's anyone out there that thinks that this is going to be a surgical constitutional convention, that this is just not what is going to happen. This is going to be a full-blown political nightmare, free-for-all, and the money that's going to flow in to try to exploit Alaska is going to be overwhelming. It will be a tsunami of money.
Now, I'm going to give an extreme example, and I'm going to use Commissioner Dragas, Commissioner of Labor. Let's think if they got in here that any job must be Davis Bacon wages. Any job.
In the Constitution?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess theoretically that's
possible. Reality, no. But just ponder that. That's what you're opening up.
Well, there's so many concerns about opening up the Constitution, and I'm sure you guys covered this in your first half hour, but I mean, this Constitution was written, and there's so much historical context around it, and a lot of folks have dug into this, that the Alaskans who worked on and created this document looked at other state constitutions, mm-hmm. and wanted to cherry pick from those constitutions and from those conventions the best of the best. And that's what we are, you know, as the 49th state, that's what we have. Is we had the we benefited from being one of the last states in the union, mm-hmm. to look at the other constitutions to figure out what works and what doesn't. I mean, we have one of the best constitutions in the country. That's why, that's what's so ironic and frustrating about this push for a constitutional convention to throw it out. For a handful of individuals that have special interests about what they want in a constitution at this time in our divisive political environment is an absolutely terrible idea.
With unlimited funding available to be put in by any corporation, yep. individual, anything.
And a convention itself will cost
the
millions.
Worst time in Alaska's history, yeah. to be doing this.
But again, our constitution is so good. It says once every 10 years.
Yep.
You know, I've been voting since 1978, so I've had three of these, mm-hmm. and I've never voted for one. Even when I was much younger, I just always said, no, there's a way to fix it. If you need to do something else, there's a way to address mm-hmm. it.
And we've done that. We've done amendments yep. over time. Yeah. There's a process. It's very surgical. It's very singular. And it doesn't completely open everything up. With no campaign limits right now in Alaska, we have the highest limits in the nation. We went from the lowest to the highest. This would be the worst time to open this thing up. Oh, my goodness. I mean, something to talk about, Citizens United, it would be Citizens United on steroids if that happened.
Mr. Passman, back to you, sir.
All right. You know, I think that in addition to the permanent fund dividend, and again, I don't believe the dividend should be in the Constitution, but I think that the other segment that of our society that's under attack now, and what I am hearing about, is the attack on the judiciary. And the United States has always been a country guided by rule of law. And Alaska followed that system of the rule of law. So what does rule of law mean? It's a system that protects, you know, contracts and commercial business circumstances. It protects, you know, the contracts and your ownership of property. It protects the rights of each individual in that society, impartial to any politics. So, but what are some of the fundamental rights that could go away if you have a plenary power constitutional convention? Civil rights, religion, freedom of religion, speech, search and seizure laws, privacy rights. all of these things go away with an attack on the judiciary and an attack on the Constitution. In other words, if there's no courts that are left to protect the citizens, then there are no privacy rights. There are no religious rights. And what do the forces want to do to the judiciary? They want to make it a subservient branch of government. Right now, it's a separate and equal branch of government. But they want the judiciary to become a subservient branch of government. And if that happens, all rights are gone, because then you don't have an institution that is designed solely to protect rights.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with a bunch of good people. And your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
I personally wouldn't mind if they altered how judges are selected, but I am afraid of the Constitutional Convention, particularly in this year when they're talking about putting a PFD into the Constitution, which would be a very destructive thing to do. It would change a true and honest dividend, which is generally based on a surplus after you've paid all your bills and everything. That's how private companies do it. If they got profit, you know, they'll pay a dividend. And so that's one bad thing about it. It'll change it into an income transfer public assistance payment instead of a true and honest dividend. But another aspect, I haven't heard many people talking about this, is that if they do, the delegates, you know, when they're horse trading and everything, trying to get their little points in and cut things in, and if they do put a PFD in there, then what will happen, in my view, is that you will have a cash bribe situation where then 51%, at least 51% of the voters, will simply rubber stamp and approve the Constitution no matter what other bad things have been slipped in there. They won't bother examining carefully with a fine-tooth comb. They'll just vote for it for the lust of cash, free cash.
Yeah, everyone usually votes yes on something like that, so depending on how you put it. Well, yeah.
Randy's right. It's an up or down vote. It's not like, I like this, I don't like that. So it's up or down. I'm sorry, right, Randy.
Randy, thank you for the phone call, buddy. You have a great day. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's, you know, again, to me, it's just, it comes down to risk management. This is the best way to manage the risk. If you want to do something singularly, you have that opportunity. But yeah, you just have too great of risk.
And we've done it. It's not like we've never amended it. We have amended it when necessary, yeah. And it's surgical, not with a blunt instrument.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in a moment with Mr. Pascavan, Ms. Dygart-Grass, and Mr. Walker.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You know him, you trust him, and for Kevin McKinley, it's all about honesty. From the Chamber of Commerce to volunteering in children's hospitals, he's been here for us. Kevin's part of the Alaska Charitable Gaming Alliance, ensuring nonprofits protect the most vulnerable, like our disabled Alaskans, children, and veterans. And with over 30 years in business, he's signed a lot of paychecks. Kevin knows Alaska has big problems: inflation, jobs, failing test scores in our schools, drug abuse. That's why he wants to serve as your next representative, to bring common sense solutions to Juneau. Let's diversify our economy to support university graduates. Let's empower parents to have a choice in how their kids learn, to bring back academic excellence. Let's support law enforcement and restorative justice. Let's support Kevin McKinley for State House.
Paid for by Alaskans for Kevin McKinley.
This is Pete at the Fairbanks Rescue Mission with a story of a courageous man and a wonderful family that is now part of our community. Doug was living in a tough neighborhood down south. He had already raised a family, but one day he met a neighbor carrying an infant, complaining about her disastrous life. Sensing there was a problem, Doug asked a simple question: "Why don't you give me that baby?" Initially, she scoffed, but later she appeared at Doug's door and asked if he could watch the baby for a while. 3 months later, she returned. Over time, the pattern continued, but eventually she showed up with another baby. Doug and his wife knew exactly what to do, and eventually they adopted both sisters. But the story doesn't end there. If you want to know more about the family's escape from a crime-ridden city and how your rescue mission was able to help them settle here, you need to stay tuned to this station or visit FairbanksRescueMission.org, where we encourage you to give where you live. FairbanksRescueMission.org. Please give where you live.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory begins at midnight tonight and continues until midnight Friday morning. Cloudy skies expected today with a chance of snow. High of 20. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely again tonight, 6 above. Overcast. 3 to 5 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Joe Pascavan, Governor Bill Walker, Commissioner Heidi Dragas, all in the studio with me. This is a lineup. This is a, wow.
I think we're all Fairbanks.
And they're all looking at me.
All Fairbanks born.
I think we're all Fairbanks born,
yeah.
Too, so by
Bill
golly.
Bill here wasn't born at St. Joseph's.
She wasn't St. Joseph's.
Okay, Fairbanks
I'm 44.
Memorial.
Yeah. I was born at Fairbanks Memorial.
She's bragging. Okay.
There's one in every crowd.
Exactly.
Now, education.
Yes.
You know, we're mandated on a couple things, and education is one of them.
Yes. You know, it's the Alaska Constitution establishes the obligation of the state of Alaska to create and to manage and to fund a public school system, quote, open to all children, close mm-hmm. quote. If you have a constitutional convention, that is going to be a target.
You know, especially, look at the University of Alaska. Don't look at, you know, K through 12. Look at the University of Alaska. If you graduate in the state of Alaska, K through 12, there's a way for you to get in college here. There is.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what your grades
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
That can be altered.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can be altered.
Absolutely can. I think that's a huge, and you know, that's actually one I hadn't really focused on much as far as they could tinker with the, or completely, you know, turn upside down the education system as well.
Yeah.
I think on this, too, I've got a unique perspective as far as a candidate, that I am, I think, the only candidate who will have a child in the public school system next year.
Yeah.
My daughter, Olive, will be entering kindergarten, and I am terrified. You know, and I've talked about this a lot. I am a product of the Fairbanks public school system. I had... If we used to joke about the education that we had at Weller Elementary, it was like going to a private school. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had oil wealth, and Alaska invested in our education system then. And I have gone all the way through public school, through the University of Alaska Fairbanks, here in Fairbanks. And I tell, you know, everyone that I can. I mean, the reason I am here and, you know, relatively successful in life, you know, my dad was, you know, I have a blue collar family. My dad was a carpenter and a firefighter. My mom is a pioneer home cook, but it's because I had a fantastic education here in Fairbanks. And I don't know if my daughter will have that same opportunity that I did. I am genuinely worried. We are in a crisis mode in this state right now. We've closed 3 schools in Fairbanks. We're closing 6, potentially 6 in Anchorage, maybe 16 in Anchorage. They just signaled at the Clatt Elementary School that they may close 16 schools. We are losing, individuals that are not coming to the University of Alaska. We are in a crisis moment in this state. We got to turn this thing around and do it quickly.
People are voting with their U-Hauls and with their feet.
Ready for a phone call?
Yes, let's do it, David.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Morning, Miss Al.
Hello, Al.
Oh, there's been a lot of ifs and coulds and might happen talked about today, and a lot of assumptions. You know, but nobody assumes that you don't have to have an all or nothing vote. You could be, it could be set up to where each potential change could be voted on separately.
Well, you don't know that, and the point of plenary power is that they can do whatever they want, and that doesn't mean, you know, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that we don't know what the ground rules would be.
They'll make them themselves.
And that is where the economic, political, and governmental uncertainty is so great, again, that if someone wants to have a specific issue, that's where you focus on the amendment process, and you don't create this high level of uncertainty, because I think you're bringing up a good issue, but because you don't know the answer to that, that's just an example of the uncertainty.
Al, thank you for the phone call. I'm going to take another one. You have a good afternoon, buddy. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, this is Tim.
Hello, Tim.
I just sound like I was listening to KUAC for a second. I didn't know the sky was falling as bad as you guys make it all sound. And both Joe and former Governor Walker were voted out for some reason. I just can't believe what I'm listening. I can't believe you didn't get somebody on who could go toe to toe with Joe on this. We can't be afraid. You guys are old Alaskans. Governor Walker, I was an early supporter of yours. Craig Fleener is a friend of mine. You threw him under the bus. I wouldn't vote for you for dog.
Well, hey, we're here to discuss the Constitutional Convention.
Well, get somebody.
And I did have people on earlier, Josh Church. He was on here with another gentleman, Mike Prox, and they were pro-Constitutional Convention. So, hey, you're hearing both sides of the issue. And, you know, I've never myself personally, through every decade, I look at this, and I've never voted for it. And to me, it's just risk management. That's all it is to me, risk management.
Yeah, and David, getting back to the education point, there is a risk that in a full constitutional convention, you throw the babies out with the bathwater. You know, Olive doesn't have a public school system open to all children. We don't have, you know, we have Alaska has endured years of harm to our funding K through 12 and university.
Or they can say we're going to put a higher preference for funding per person in rural, or they could say in urban.
They can do whatever they
want. Yeah, that's the whole thing about it.
Yep.
And now you have the base student allocation equal, but they can change that way it's done. It's again, you're starting at scratch. And then you put these people in a room, and you're going to have give and take. I'll vote for this if you vote for that. When they did this at Constitution Hall, I think they really got it right for as much as they could get it right. And they put this in there. We can have it open every 10 years. And I've never voted for it. I don't see voting for it this time. Let every side say why they should have it or why they should not have it. Simple as that.
Yes.
Boy.
Wow.
I think we're
convinced.
Yeah, I'm getting my, you know, I can't wait for this election to happen.
Yeah. Us too.
Us too. Yeah.
It does get that way. So, anything else on your thought process there, Mr. Pasvan?
Well, again, just as a summary, I think that Alaskans should know that I believe that the permanent fund itself belongs in the state's constitution, but I don't believe the permanent fund dividend belongs in the state's constitution. I think that education is important. I don't want to throw out the babies with the bathwater and subject a system that has worked since statehood very well to educate myself and the people in this room. When it comes to the judiciary, I think it's absolutely critical to the essential freedoms that we have as Alaskans to not allow our judiciary to be attacked. It deserves to remain a separate and equal branch of government and not subservient to the legislature or to the governor.
Yeah. This is directed at Al. Ponder this. They could have a thought process putting Alaska fish and game policy to be following and subservient to federal guidelines. Ponder that. We fight them every day.
Yeah.
But they could do that. Let's make it easy. We'll just follow their policies. Oh, this hurts thinking
about
it. I think
we're limited by our imagination of what kind of mischief could happen on a country, because we just don't know. I mean, Joe has done some,
And whatever you want to do, you can do. But you don't have to do it in a constitutional convention.
Right. Right.
We're not taking away any rights. None.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And the point is that if there's a multi-generational change that's needed, you know, 28 times since 1959, the constitutional amendment process has worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have done that. And the constitutional amendment process didn't always work. 16 times it failed.
So basically, once every 2 to 3 years, we have a constitutional change.
A change.
Mm-hmm. Roughly.
And again, the people of Alaska get to vote on it, and that's the way it should be.
The last one was in 2020 when we voted in ranked choice voting.
Yeah. But the point is a full convention. Do I favor it? The answer clearly is no. It's unnecessary, it's expensive, and I think it's dangerous to Alaska. So, you know, the levels of instability that will be created if we have a constitutional convention are so huge, it's unimaginable the risk that we have. And David, I like your term, risk management. The voters have the opportunity to vote no and eliminate this risk management catastrophe.
Well, okay. Ms. Dragas, Governor Walker, Mr. Pasquin, thank you for being here.
Of course.
Great
thank
lineup.
You. Thanks for having
great
us.
Great lineup.
Thanks,
we are honored to be here, and we are looking for first place votes on Tuesday, and we are concerned about the future of the state. We're a unity ticket. I come from the right, and Heidi comes from the left, so we're a unity ticket, and we need to get back to work, and we need to bring down the cost of energy. We need to develop our state. I talked to one employee yesterday, that one of the mines in this area that pays $2 million a month for power. My goodness, that's a big power bill. And so we need to bring down the cost of energy in Alaska. We've got it. We've got the resources. We need to just get on with it, and I'm just excited about the opportunities we aren't doing, because we're sort of fighting over what we can't do, and there's so much more we can do. So let's get after it, and I'm honored to be on Heidi's ticket, as I put it, because she's the real deal. You know, some people say we have too much Fairbanks in our campaign.
There's never enough Fairbanks.
So I think we're good.
Mr. Pasquin, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate your presentation. Governor.
Our pleasure.
Commissioner.
Thank you.
You guys
so much.
Have a great day and good luck.
Thank you.
Fairbanks,
so
I will see you on Friday.